years now. I've been married for almost 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. Amen. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. Amen? Amen. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. If you cannot see God in all, you cannot see God at all. And always remember this, B-I-B-L-E simply means basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. Amen. Amen? Give God some praise and glory. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Church, y'all bear with us. I don't know what's going on with the sound equipment. James had to leave and go back to work. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Never underestimate the power of a simple word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, as you're bridged into the supernatural, nevertheless puts power back in God's hands. Nevertheless activates heaven on your behalf, and it paralyzes hell. He said, Help, I've got a net breaking, boat sinking blessing here. I've got too much blessing. It's just too much for me. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of blessing? Amen. If you'd been on the shore that day, that's what you would have heard Peter yelling to his partners on the shore. But that shouldn't surprise us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Press down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You know, many of the things we buy today have words written on that say, contents may settle during shipping. And sure enough, you open the bag or a box and it looks like somebody stole a third of your product. But I want you to know that God has a blessing with your name on it and the contents haven't settled. As a matter of fact, not only have contents not settled, contents are overflowing. That means that it wouldn't all fit in the box. It's too much blessing. Most of us have a hard time believing. We can believe God for just enough blessing, just enough to pay the rent, just enough to put gas in the car, just enough to buy a few groceries, just enough to keep the lights on. That's what we call a wilderness mentality. In the wilderness, they had just enough. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he took them through the wilderness of just enough, but it was only supposed to be halfway to the land of overflow. The land that flowed with milk and honey. Just enough is definitely better than never enough, but that's not the promised land. You see, so many Christians, we're living far below what God wants us to have. What Jesus died that we might have. We bought the lies of the devil. Some of the old mentality in the early churches was if you're poor, then you were holy. There's a lot of poor people that ain't very holy. There's a lot of rich people that ain't very holy. But God wants you to have things. Amen? He wants to take us to the promised land. And church, the promised land is not always heaven. God wants you to enjoy the journey on the way to heaven. He wants to bless you here and now. How can you go over to somebody and say, oh, I've served God, man. He's so good to me. And yet, you can't pay your bills, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, who's going to want to buy a product if it doesn't sound very good, amen? But the God we serve is a God of more than enough. He said He owns it all, church. 3 John says, beloved, I wish above all things, tell somebody He's talking to you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. God says your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. As you learn and you grow in the Word and the knowledge of the Word of God, He says that you're going to be in health. You're going to make the right choices. You're going to eat right. You're going to take care of this body. You're going to do what's necessary. You're going to sleep and you're going to rest and do what God tells you to do. Amen? He said, I want you to be in health and prosper even as thy soul prospers. God wants you to have blessings. He wants you to be able to help somebody else. He just doesn't want the blessing to have you. Amen? God wants you to be a channel, not a reservoir. He wants to be able to flow through to you to be able to help somebody else. So many times we're saying, oh God, I need you to do this in my life. And we're expecting God to drop money out of heaven. It's not going to work that way. He's going to work through somebody. He's going to speak to somebody, church. And you may be that person. But God wants you to have enough to where you can help somebody else. He said, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Your choices are going to be right. Your thinking's going to be different. You're not going to allow your emotions to control you. You're going to let the Spirit of God control you. Tell somebody, God has a blessing with your name on it. Church, it's in the post office. It's been dispatched from heaven and it's waiting for you to put your claim on it. You've prayed, you confessed the Word, you worked your faith, you stood on the Word. But if you're honest with yourself, many of you are in the same place Peter was that day. You've been disappointed. Somebody I'm talking to today has been in a disappointing season. You've been questioning God, say, God, when's this ever going to be over with? When's enough going to be enough? When am I going to get my breakthrough? When's the promise going to happen? When's your blessing going to happen? When's it going to overtake me? Your faith has been disappointed over and over again. You've thrown your net out over and over again. It seems like it has all been for nothing. It feels like all the prayer and all that believing and all that confessing was just a waste of time. But the Lord says, I tell you, your disappointing season shall come to an end. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, when you order something, they give you a delivery date. That's your appointment to receive what you've ordered. The Lord says, this is your divine appointment. But you say, I've already been to the post office 6 times already, and there's no sign of my package. There's no evidence of rain anywhere. Remember when Elijah told his servant to go out? He said, I hear the abundance of rain. He said, go out and look. And he come back and said, I don't see anything. He said, go back 6 times. Go back another time. Amen? The Holy Spirit is telling you and I, go again. Be persistent in faith. He said, ask, seek, and knock. So many times we ask, but we don't do anything after that. Well, I'm believing God for a job. Well, what did you do? Well, I asked God. Well, what else did you do? Well, I'm just still waiting for God to drop that job on top of me. No, you got to go out and you got to seek. You got to go out and you got to knock. And God will open the doors. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, your drought's going to be over. You're going to be taken over by an abundance of rain. The Lord said to prophesy a new season, a new anointing. So today I'm going to prophesy a new season, a new anointing over each and every one of our lives in here today. An anointing of breakthrough, a release of supernatural abundance. Church, there's an anointing for every season of your life. There's even an anointing for the hard times. Well, I gave my life to God. I didn't think it was going to be difficult after that. Wow, I got a wake-up call for you. We live in a fallen world. And we have an adversary, the devil, who goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to try to keep anything that God's trying to do in your life. He's going to try to keep it from coming to pass, church. God never said that it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be possible. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. He wants to do the same thing through you and I. Amen? There's an anointing to sustain you through those drought times. Amen? There's an anointing for those long nights when you feel like there's just nothing ever happening in your life. There's an anointing for breakthrough and release and supernatural abundance. One word from God can change your whole life, your whole situation, your whole circumstance. Somebody here needs to lift their hand and ask God to shift you into an anointing of abundance. Amen? Lord, I need an anointing for a breakthrough this morning. You see, Jesus was trying to shift Peter into a new anointing, but Peter resisted. And I'm paraphrasing. Peter said, Lord, it's all been for nothing. We worked hard for nothing. We worked so hard just for empty nets. We prayed and we fasted and we confessed your word all for nothing. Let me give you a revelation. Nothing is a great preparation for too much. Amen. God will usually always take you through a season of nothing just before the breakthrough into too much. Why? Because God wants all the glory. He wants you to know and He wants everybody else to know that it wasn't the strength of your flesh. You're not the Savior. You're not the healer. You're not the deliverer. You're not the miracle worker. He wants you to know experientially that it's the anointing that produces the miracle. He said it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So many times we're working ourselves, we're doing all kinds of things, trying to make things happen, and we're frustrated, and we're just depressed and discouraged because it's not happening. We're trying to do it in our own strength, our own energy. And God says, I want to do it by my Spirit. And when I do it, I'm going to get all the glory for it. Some of us in here, people said you'd never get saved, you'd never change, you'd never get off drugs, you'd never get off alcohol. You'd never quit being selfish. The devil told you, your friends told you that, people you know told you that. But you're here today and things changed, amen? You're not the person you used to be. And it wasn't because of what you did, it's because of what the Spirit of God did in our lives. God, He wants us to learn His voice. People are running to and fro, always looking for an answer for something, always want to hear a word from somebody. God wants you to hear His word. He wants you to be able to hear. You're not always going to have somebody you can run to. There's not always going to be a preacher. There's not always going to be a minister somewhere, a priest somewhere. You need to be able to hear God for yourself. Some of us, God tries to speak to us, and we're so acquainted with the devil, we say, get behind me, devil. When God's telling you something, what it was, you just didn't want to hear what God said. Amen? Church, the first key to shifting into the anointing of abundance is hearing God's voice. God is trying to position you. If He can't get you where He wants to be, then you're going to miss out on the blessing. Peter had to do what God told him to do. He could have sat in that boat and argued with God all day long like some of us do. And nothing would have happened. But he said, nevertheless. Not because I really feel like it, but you said. The second key is obeying Him. Obedience to an instruction, even if it seems ridiculous. God will let us wear ourselves out doing what we know how to do so we'll be ready to hear His voice. Why is it we do that? Well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'm going to give God a chance. And God will let you do that. Well, I've tried to clean my life up and it just ain't working. So I guess I'll give God a chance. My kids are a mess. I can't do nothing with them. So I guess I'll pray and let God do something with them. You see, as long as we got strength, we still got options. We think we can work it out ourselves. And we don't hear God's voice. It's not that He's not speaking. It's just that we're too busy making too much noise to hear Him. I used to tell my mom, I said, I don't hear God. And God told me one time through her, said, you never sit still long enough to listen. You know one of the hardest things in a church service to do is get people to sit still for a moment and wait on God. I say, okay, God, I got 30 minutes left in here. You need to perform. You need to, come on, pick it up. Let's get it done here. And God says, my ways are not your ways. Amen. Amen. Church, God waits for us to wait on Him, to be led by His Spirit. To be led by the Spirit means that He's in front. Oh, a lot of people, oh, I'm being led by the Spirit. No, you're leading the Spirit. Because you sure ain't going the direction God's telling you to. He says you'll know them by the fruit, amen? So He waits for us to fall back in line and start waiting on Him. Then He speaks this ridiculous instruction. If you want to shift into a ridiculous blessing, you have to be willing to obey a ridiculous instruction. It was an ridiculous instruction for the prophet to tell a broke, busted, and disgusted widow to go and borrow empty vessels, not a few, and then take her little pot of oil and start pouring into all those empty vessels. Most of y'all know the story. The little widow woman, Elijah, God said, go tell her, take what you get, go borrow a bunch more vessels, bring it over here, and give what you have to the prophet. And she had enough just for her and her son. Just enough. Okay? But she obeyed the ridiculous instruction and the anointing of ridiculous blessings came on her and she went into supernatural overflow. She could have kept what she had. She could have eaten it. Her son could have eaten it. And then it was going to die. That's not a whole lot of options. Or she could be obedient to what God told her to do, and she did it, and the vessels just kept filling and filling and filling and filling. A ridiculous anointing is getting ready to fall on somebody right now. Somebody is getting this morning. Key number three to a ridiculous blessing is that you have to get a vision of abundance. Most of us don't have any problem seeing ourselves as just enough, barely making it. Just keeping our heads above water. I know because I've been there. For years we fought just to keep our heads above water. We were faithful in the tithes. We never missed church. But we hadn't got that vision of abundance. We couldn't see ourselves blessed with any more than just enough to pay our bills. You have to see yourself in abundance. How big a God do you serve? If He's big enough to take you to heaven, He's big enough to take care of you here and now. Amen? How do you see yourself this morning? You may have empty boats. You may have empty nets. You may have empty cupboards. You may have empty pockets. But you have to see something that isn't there. In Romans it says, counting the things that be not as though they were. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you children more stars, more than the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea. And he looks at her and he looks at him at 100 and she's 90 and thinking, oh yeah? So he had to count the things that be not as though it was. I don't know about you, but I pray God doesn't give me children at 100 years old, okay? I got my hands full of what I got now. But he had to count those things be not. God said it. Didn't matter what it looked like. Didn't matter what it felt like. God said it. And what happened? God performed it. Amen? God told Abraham, lift your eyes up from the place where you are. Look east and west, north and south. Everything you can see, I'll give it to you. God was saying, if you can see it, you can have it. Some of us, we need to see it by faith, church. Amen? When the prophet told the woman to get all those empty vessels, he was activating her spiritual sight, her faith vision. He wanted her to see by faith every one of those vessels filled. And when she obeyed that ridiculous instruction and began to pour what little bit of oil she had in those vessels, she made a little pot of oil with her miracle seed. It didn't make any sense. How many times God told you to do something that didn't make any sense? You see, it was nothing compared to the size of her need. It could not get her out of debt, but she poured out what she had and she sold it. She released what she had in order to get what she needed. And her obedience to a ridiculous instruction took her into overflow and put her in the oil business. Amen. See, Peter's seed was his boat. Jesus used it as a pulpit. Jesus told Peter, launch out in the deep for a draught. He was giving Peter a vision of abundance. Jesus didn't say, well, just try one more time and see if you catch something. He said emphatically, let your down your nets for a net-breaking, boat-sinking blessing. He was saying there's a blessing out there with your name on it waiting for you to let down your nets. Jesus was saying there's a multitude of fish out there waiting for you to let down your nets. They have an appointment to jump into your nets. If you don't get out there and let down the nets, you're going to miss your appointment and you're going to miss the blessing. That's an awesome God. Them fish, they were ready to jump in the nets and fill them up. Amen? Tell your neighbor, don't miss your appointment. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's what Mary told the servants at the wedding when they ran out of wine. It may not make no sense to do it. It may be hard on your flesh to do it. You may not like it. But do it. Everybody may think you're crazy, but do it. The Lord is saying to somebody that's hearing this word, through your obedience, your water is getting ready to be turned into wine. See, water speaks of just enough. Wine speaks of excessive overflow and abundance. Water speaks of survival and maintenance, but wine speaks of thriving and overflow. When Peter obeyed, he went into supernatural overflow and abundance. He couldn't even get all the fish into his boat. And yet they were professional fishermen. They'd fished all night. They put and didn't catch anything. But a word from God. A word from God changed everything. He says, it don't make no sense. I know I've done fished these waters. I've done all the things I know to do. But nevertheless, at your word. When the widow obeyed, she went into supernatural overflow and abundance. When the servants obeyed, the water became wine. God is trying to shift somebody into a new anointing this morning. Somebody wants it. Amen? Peter almost missed his breakthrough because he argued with Jesus. Church, I've argued with Jesus. I've gotten mad at God. I've shook my fist at God. You know what? It didn't do one bit of good. God just sits over and says, okay, when you get through having your little pity party, then we'll talk. Think about this. If you get God against you, what are you going to do? God is the only one that can change some of our situations. Amen? God can't change those unruly kids. I mean, people, we can't change those unruly kids. God can. You can't change that husband and wife, but God can. You can't change that employer, that boss that's giving you a hard time, but God can. You can't change your financial situation, but God can. The doctors may say you've got 6 months, but God says, I'll give you long life. Tell your neighbor, don't argue with God. One word shifted Peter into a ridiculous blessing. That one word changed everything. Nevertheless. Peter's argument went something like this. Lord, that doesn't make any sense. You don't fish during the day. Lord, I've tried. I've fished all night. I don't feel like it. God ever told you to do something, you said, well, I don't feel like it? Lord, I don't want to be disappointed again. It's not worth the effort. But Peter spoke one word that changed everything. He said, nevertheless. You better have a nevertheless in your vocabulary. That one little word seems so insignificant, but it's so full of power. Nevertheless means I don't care what it looks like. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Things are not always going to look like they should look. They're not always going to feel the way they should feel. But I'm not going to be moved by what I see or what I feel or what everybody else says about it. I'm going to do what God says. Nevertheless means I don't care what people say about me. When God tells you to do things, people are going to look at you like you fell off a turnip truck. They're going to think you're crazy sometimes. But I don't care. Nevertheless, I'm going to do what God says. Nevertheless means I don't care if I've tried it before and it didn't work. Well, Lord, I've done this and I've done this and I've... You've done. Now let God do something. Get out of the way and let God do something. Nevertheless means I don't care if it's going to cost me some pride. Do you know we have no problem seeing faults and sins in other people's lives, but when it comes to pride, we're blind. Oh, I know, Brother Gary, he's got this pride problem. He don't, but I'm just using him. We can always see it in somebody else, but we can't see it in ourselves. Lord, I do this, but what are people going to say? What are people going to think? I told you the story before. When I first got saved, we went to pray for a lady at Scott and White, and my mom and pastor and myself, and we went up there. And I was a young Christian and didn't know a whole lot. And when we first went in, I thought they was going to tell everybody to leave the room so we could pray for her, you know. Mom, the pastor, they just began to pray for the lady. And I was looking around thinking, who's watching us, you know. And we're like that. God tells us to do something. We're like, well, wait a minute, I'll make sure, see who's watching me, make sure I don't look like an idiot out here. I'd rather make myself a fool for Jesus than a fool for anything else. Amen. God tells you to go over and help somebody off the street or something. Well, what if people see me over talking to them? What are they going to think? When you stand before God, it ain't going to matter what everybody else says. It's going to be a matter of what does God say. Amen? Nevertheless means I don't care if it doesn't make sense. I don't care if it makes me look foolish. Amen. Nevertheless, I will obey. Nevertheless, I will go. Nevertheless, I will do. Nevertheless, I will pray. Nevertheless, I will forgive. Nevertheless, I will sow that seed. So, oh, but God, that's all I have left. What if the little widow woman had that mentality? I know a lady came in here one time, she had $10 to her name. And she came and she sowed it. And God spoke to somebody. And they went over and they gave her $300, which was exactly what she needed to pay some bills. The $10 wasn't going to help her a bit. She sowed the seed. Nevertheless, she could have held on that $10 and, oh man, $10 is not going to buy you a whole lot. But she sowed the seed and God blessed her. Nevertheless, I will take that step. I will fill the water pots with water, even though everybody's expecting wine. I will go dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan. Remember the guy, had leprosy? Naaman had leprosy? And he expected the prophet to come out and just lay hands on him or speak the word and be healed. And when he told him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, he's like, wait a minute. There's a lot more cleaner rivers over here than that. Why the dirty Jordan River? He wanted to argue with God. How bad do you want what you're asking God for? If God tells you to go dip 7 times in a dirty river, he's got a reason for it. Amen? And when Naaman did what God told him to do, even though it didn't make any sense, he got totally, completely healed. I will march around those walls for 7 days. Church, don't you know that here this army of Israel come to Jericho, the mightiest fortified city that they'd come to yet in the promised land. You could take two horses' chariots and ride them around on the top of the city walls. That's how fortified it was. And God told them, march around the city walls and keep your mouth shut. God's telling some of us, you need to do what I told you to do and keep your mouth shut. Quit complaining. Quit questioning me. And what'd they do? They marched around. Didn't make any sense. Don't you know those people on the walls look down? Look at them idiots down there marching around. They're just wearing themselves out. And then he says on its last day, shout. And when they gave a shout, the walls come tumbling down. Didn't make any sense, church. Don't you know the devil the whole time was telling that army? Boy, y'all look stupid marching around them walls. Just marching around them walls. But God had a purpose. Amen? Nevertheless, they marched around the walls and the walls come tumbling down. Amen? I will bar the empty vessels, not just a few. I will make the prophet a cake, even though it's going to be my last meal for me and my child. Nevertheless, that word is your bridge from your season of nothing to too much. Tell your neighbor, I'm crossing over on a nevertheless. That word shifts you out of the natural realm into the supernatural. I may see empty nets, nevertheless. I may feel pain in my body, nevertheless. My children may be acting crazier than ever, nevertheless. My bank account may be on life support, nevertheless. They just repossessed my car, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I just lost my job, nevertheless. My husband or my wife just served me with divorce papers, nevertheless. Praise God, I feel a nevertheless anointing in this place right now, church. Amen? The devil may be attacking you on every side, nevertheless. There may not be no relief in sight, nevertheless. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Church, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But most of the time when God doesn't perform and doesn't do what we want Him to do quick as we want Him to do it, murmur and complain. Look, He gave us examples in the Word of God. You go over to the book of Corinthians and look at in Hebrews maybe too. When they murmured and complained, this Bible says they were destroyed of the destroyer. When you murmur and complain, you release the devil's ability in your life to kill, steal, and destroy. When you praise God, you release God's ability into your situation and your circumstance for God to do what He can do. Nevertheless, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. God is for me, and it doesn't matter who's against me. I said it doesn't matter. Sometimes we forget God is on your side. Before you got born again, before you got saved, you were in this thing by yourself. You were having to fight the world, the devil, and all your problems and everything by yourself. But you got somebody on your side. And He's not there to beat you down. He's there to pick you up. He's there to encourage you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be victorious. A lot of people got the wrong idea. Well, I messed up, so God don't love me anymore. The Bible says He loved you when you were yet sinners, church. That's a lie of the devil. I say we have no problem hearing Him, but we have a problem hearing God. God is for me. It doesn't matter who's against me. Tell somebody, shout nevertheless. Say it again. Amen. When that word is spoken in faith, it notifies heaven that you're ready to do whatever it takes. And the Holy Spirit instructs you to do. Lord, I don't understand it, but nevertheless, I'm ready. It doesn't make any sense. It kind of looks stupid to me, but nevertheless, that's what you're telling me to do. Secondly, when you say nevertheless, it cripples hell. Amen. Because when you declare that word in faith, you have just notified hell it doesn't matter. Devil, you can throw what you want to me. Hell, you can do what you want to do. People, you can say what you want to say. World, you can do what you... It does not matter. I'm going to do what God told me to do. It does not matter, church, how old you are or how young you are. It does not matter how much money you have or how much you don't have. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what hell throws at you. It doesn't matter if sickness or disease. It doesn't matter if it's a financial problem. It doesn't matter if the devil attacks your family. It doesn't matter if you're in a lion's den or in a fiery furnace. Oh, come on, give God some praise in the house this morning. It doesn't matter if you're nauseous or not. You're still going to preach God's word. Amen? Amen. Preach myself happy. See, it's already settled. I'm committed. Nothing's going to change my mind. I've got a nevertheless inside of me. You got a nevertheless inside of you. Amen? You see, nevertheless is a prophetic word because that word declares it's done before I even start. In other words, when you declare that word from your heart, you're releasing faith. Your faith is testifying. Your faith is crippling hell. We all remember Jesus' words on the cross. He said, "It is finished." But you see, prophetically, it was finished in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will." With that one word from Jesus' lips, hell was defeated. Your victory and my victory was won. Put heaven on notice that you're ready for your breakthrough. Amen. Tell God, nevertheless. Let the devil know it don't matter. It's already decided. Come hell or high water, come sickness or health, come joy or pain, come drought or rain, come lion's den or fiery furnaces, nevertheless. Amen. Grab your neighbor's hand and prophesy to him. Nevertheless. Church, when you prophesy, you're putting pressure on your blessing. You're accelerating your blessing. Nevertheless means I refuse to be dominated by what my eyes see. I'm going to cast my nets into nothing because I'm believing for too much. We need to have a nevertheless praise. Amen? I want us to start prophetically praising Him like everything that we've been believing God for has just happened. Oh, when my bank account's full, my body's healed, when my husband and wife are being sweet and nice like little angels, oh, I can praise God. Oh, God, you're so good. When all hell's breaking loose, He's still God, and we still should be praising Him. It doesn't change who He is. Counting things be not as though they were. Nevertheless means I don't see in the natural, but I'm going to praise Him just like it's already done. Somebody needs to put hell on notice that you're not quitting. You're not giving up. You're not turning the switch of faith off. You've got one more cast in you. Praise Him like your prodigals just came home. You've been believing for your kids to be saved. You're believing your kids to get off of drugs. You believe your kids to change their life. You need to start praising God. Lord, I praise you. Before I see them change, before I see all these things, I'm praising you anyway because you're in control of all things. Nevertheless, what I see, nevertheless, what everybody says about them. When I was bound by drugs and alcohol and selfishness and all the things I was doing, people would come tell my mom, oh, he's getting worse and worse and worse. And she'd be praying, I don't care. She said, I know what my God said. And she kept holding on to that. Nevertheless, I don't care how bad he's getting. I don't care how deep he's going. Nevertheless, my God says if I'll stand and be faithful, he will be saved. And you know what? God did just what she asked him to do. You need to praise him like your healing just manifested. Oh, when I get healed, I'll thank God. No, you need to be thanking God right now, church. Then you'll get your healing. You need to praise him like your debt has been supernaturally canceled. Lord, I thank you. I'm debt free. Oh, but that's not what my creditors say. I don't care what the creditors say. What does God say? Amen? Amen. You need to praise God that your marriage is restored. Don't wait till it's being restored. Praise him now. Lord, I thank you that my marriage is healed. I thank you that my marriage is strong. You need to praise him that your addiction is broken. Oh, one of these days. No, not one of these days. You need to start thanking him right now. Lord, I thank you. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm on fire for you. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm on fire for you. Amen. My bondage is broken. The chains are gone. The devil has to set me free. Jesus is in my life. I have too much life in me to be bondage these things anymore. Amen? Nevertheless, now I got to wrap it up because we got to go eat. I want to read this to you. Hey, nevertheless. Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not stuff out. Aren't you glad that God's a mender, not a discarder? Amen. With him, broken lives don't have to be the end of the story. He's often been called the God of the second chance. How short-sighted that is. If we only got two chances, we'd all be miserable and lost. Amen? But instead, he's the God of the 7 times 7. In Greek, 7 represents infinity. So he's the God of unlimited grace. As long as you humbly acknowledge your failure and desire to start again, he will enable you. The reed referred to in this verse is a shepherd's makeshift flute that had withered, cracked, and become worthless. The smoldering wick no longer gave light and was considered useless. Both represent people set aside as damaged goods and rejected by others. But Jesus is committed to mend and heal, not break or quench those who have failed. He desires to give us a fresh start regardless of our failures. People won't do that, but God will. The truth is we all fail. As Adam's descendants, messing things up comes naturally. Abraham lied and put Sarah at risk. Jacob was a cheat and self-promoting con artist. Moses determined to do things his own way and ended up a fugitive. David was an adulterer and a conspiratorial assassin who betrayed a faithful friend. Peter turned his back on Christ, yet God used each of them to accomplish his will. And he will use you too because we're sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So you can start again. Amen? Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house this morning. And I know the last few weeks we've been doing more teaching than we've been preaching, but today I felt like we need something to pick us up. Amen? Amen. This week when the devil tells you something, tell him, nevertheless. Amen. Remember that. When somebody in your family starts talking negative over you, say, nevertheless. I'm going to hear what God says. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. The devil will tell you the situation is hopeless. It's never going to change. But God says all things are possible to him who can believe. What can you believe God for this morning? Amen? If you'll stand, please. Church, this morning we're going to have corporate prayer because we are having our meal in the back. But I never want to not have an altar call, so we will have an altar call first. Bow your heads, no one looking around.